Joining me now for a closer look at the equity space is Makwe Masilela from Makwe Fund Managers. Makwe, thanks so much for joining us this evening. So quite a lot of balls up in the air at the moment, and it's really hard not to be distracted because there's just so many factors coming into play. How are you digesting it all, and what have you made of the kind of impact it's had on trading activity today?
Good evening to you and to the viewers. You are right. It's very confusing. I mean, we've got to hear the issues of high numbers of COVID-19 in Europe, those countries also putting in some restrictions. At the same time, we've got inflation, which is still at elevated levels, even though we've seen that the U.S. core inflation in the third quarter was trending down compared to the second quarter, but still at high levels. And also, we've been seeing the bond market is very jittery because we've been seeing that the bond yields have been going up because now people are worried that interest rates might be going up sooner than expected. But I guess on the brighter side, you've seen the US GDP number being revised slightly up. And also when you look at their jobless numbers, they are much better, I mean, at the lowest since 1969. But all in all, markets continue to be worried about the COVID-19 inflation and also the reaction that we expect from central banks. And as you said in your intro, the minutes that we'll be getting later tonight will also help to see what is the thing when it comes to central bankers. And remember as well, oil prices, as much as we've seen that the U.S. and some of the major consumers managed to release some strategic oil reserves, still didn't do much, you know, to the oil prices, because apparently the likes of Saudi Arabia and Russia are thinking of pausing, you know, when it comes to the supply thereof. And that the gold itself continues to be under pressure when it comes to what is happening with a firmer U.S. dollar, which is also reflecting on our current as well, which is also fleeting with the 16 rents.
So like I say, lots of factors coming into play here. I want to home in specifically on central bank action because of that FOMC meeting and the release of those minutes later today, because pandemic-induced stimulus might have supported equity markets this year, but analysts have warned off tapering, saying that they don't expect the upward trajectory to continue into 2022. So here's more on that before we get Makwe's take.
We don't really, Francine, expect a correction, but I also don't think that the pace of upward move is sustainable into the new year. We've seen a fantastic year. Again, this year, largely because of the stimulus of the Fed, we'll take a careful note of their minutes. My expectation is that they will become a tad more hawkish, but not something that will upset markets right here and now.
So, Michael, where do you see actually the biggest value? And, you know, because of this indecision on inflation and exactly, you know, what kind of policy we could see and what kind of policy mistake we should worry about, what do you buy into?
Well, we have a focus right now on Europe. We've gone back to being overweight equities after the sort of small dip in late September into October, we went back in. As you know, we've had a pro-cyclical sort of risk-on view ever since actually the lows of March last year. We're back into being long equities in Europe. Germany, for example, is a country we're looking at. We like industrials right now. We like financials. We like small caps in the U.S. versus large caps, sort of more, if you will, relative alpha trades, because I do believe this big fast beta trade we've seen for 15 months, almost 2 years, that is not realistic for the coming year.
So, Michael, region by region now, and do you like cheaper stocks, maybe Europe bond valuations, or are they the ones that could suffer the most?
Look, so region by region, as I said, we have a particular focus on Germany, but also on Japan. Also a cyclical play, quite cheap in our view. We like the UK. Coming out of if you will, the Brexit sort of correction, the pound was very cheap. It certainly has gone up quite well. But it's UK is a commodity oriented country or market. Mm-hmm. It is a value play. We like countries like South Africa, Indonesia, again mostly because we believe in a strong economic rebound and recovery into next year too, those markets also focus tendentially on commodities are interesting to us. Mm-hmm. And within fixed income, we're actually very selective. In developed world, we like sort of the triple B senior loan stuff in developed markets. And more regionally in Asia, we like investment grades. Actually in hard currency bonds, China is one of the things that we prefer.
That was the CIO at Credit Suisse, Michael Strobeck. So, Makwe, like I said in the introduction, we've got the FOMC meetings tonight, potentially bringing some solace to the markets if they have a dovish tone. But many analysts saying that the bet is they'll not. And FOMC members are pretty divided on the next course of action here. So in that context, how selective is your appetite right now for risk and going long equities?
You know, I continue to be cautious because we don't know exactly what will happen. Remember, central bankers themselves, they don't have a crystal ball. And I agree that they don't, or they won't intentionally rock the boat. So they'll continue at least to make sure that they telegraph whatever message properly. But for now, then, in South African terms, one is better off with our grocery retailers, because should COVID continue, we know that more than 50% of our people continue to spend more than 50% of their money on food. And should these other countries, as we've seen that the U.S. managed to pass that bill, the infrastructure bill, we've seen Japan came up with almost just under $500 million U.S. dollar stimulus. If the likes of China, European Central Bank start joining as well, then yes, it's worth our while to start looking at the likes of commodities. Because bear in mind that as much as the U.S. might be divided, when it comes to the European Central Bank, they're very clear when it comes to the interest rate hikes that they're not looking to be doing that in 2022. Because that will probably choke the economic growth. So it's not just the U.S. Fed, which is divided. It's also the continents themselves, which are divided about when to start increasing interest rates.
Yeah. When it comes to South Africa in particular, where are you finding value right now? It's not often, Makwe, and I've got to admit this, when we listen to our clips from our Bloomberg colleagues, that we hear South Africa on the list of countries that investors have identified in terms of opportunity.
Our banks continue to be very attractive, and also when you look at the bulletin that we got from the Reserve Bank today as well, they confirm that our banks continue to be well capitalized, and they are also well resourced should there be another shock. So I think our banks, if we compare them with our international peers, continue to be attractive.
Looking at performance today, banks hard hit, to down 2% on a sectoral basis. Were you delving in?
Yeah, and it's more because of the weaker, the rand that we've seen, which is flirting with the almost 16 level. And we know that that tends to be negative. But look at the interest rates. If the Reserve Bank will continue to start increasing interest rates, not rapidly, but in a gradual form, then that will also work for the banks going forward. So, yes, we do expect those kind of dips now and then.
It's interesting that you choose the financial space right now, because we know that banking players are highly correlated to that of GDP growth, and two factors that stand front and center as far as that's concerned is the weaker rand. Mark, we're highlighting that's come into play. We've got the oil price in focus, investors questioning the effectiveness of a US-led release of oil and turning their attention to how producers will respond. Analysts saying they've been weighing in on how this move has impacted prices. Let's take a look at that before we take this conversation any further.
Well, I think there are really two ways of looking at it. The first is, yes, prices went up yesterday and they're holding firm today, but they've been down about 7% since the U.S. started talking about releasing from the strategic reserve. So we have seen a cap in the rally. We have seen something of an impact. So it's almost, a buy the rumor, sell the fact, or maybe in reverse for oil prices. So we can't say that it was a complete waste. The other side of it, though, is if the impact was done now, what happens if oil prices stay higher and the U.S. is going into midterms and the impact is limited and maybe they already used this bullet? So something to keep in mind. For now, though, winter is coming. It's getting cold. Sorry.
So, go ahead, Esther, I just want to ask, do you think that Brent crude will next kind of be trading at $85 per barrel or $80 per barrel? It's currently around $82.50, so I'm curious what kind of the next kind of direction is for the next few percent from here.
I think the next few percent are probably down, just because for Europe and generally speaking, we're seeing a rise in COVID cases, which could slow some of the travel, some of the reopening and delay it a little bit further again. But at some point during the winter, we're probably going to move back up towards $85. I'm not sure we go much higher than that. I don't know if OPEC Plus is going to want to have a massive reaction, but we are going to have those counterbalancing facts of a bit more containment in Europe and then, of course, a bit more demand as things improve into 2022.
That was the CIO of Flowbank, Etsy Dweck. Makwe, I brought that in because, of course, we've got consumers keeping a keen eye on that oil price, right? Not only when they visit the pumps, but also because it has implications for inflation. It then has a ripple effect in terms of what our own South African Reserve Bank does as far as interest rates are concerned in order to contain that inflationary rise and pressure. And it's in that context that you've got a player like Tsoho Sun, for example, reporting a recovery right now. How confident are you that that's going to be able to be sustained given some of the risks that are still very much in sight?
We need to note firstly that our economy is rebounding as much as it has not been doing well. So that should bode well, you know, for most companies and the likes of Tsoho Sun. As soon as they have the international markets, corporate demand starting to pick up, then that should do okay for them as well going forward. And we know that the occupancy rate is not impressive, you know, sitting at almost 21.9%. But you compare that with the previous period, it was sitting at almost 5%. And the guys continue to maintain their net debt at almost 3 billion. And it was also expected that definitely they don't have to clear any dividend. But as you said in your intro, the guys have improved their headline loss, you know, by almost 73%. So it shows you that steady but sure, the guys will get there. Probably we should start understanding something that as much as things could be low, we don't have to expect a V-shaped recovery, but there will still be some form of recovery unless the unexpected happens. You know, we are wave 5 comes into effect and it tends to be very bad, then we end up maybe wave 5, stuff like that, then unfortunately that will affect almost everything.
Yeah, Makwe, how much of that kind of thinking translates over to a player like Lewis? We've had high inventory levels to this point managing to work in Lewis's favor. Do you see it being sustained?
Definitely. Look, the guys managed to increase their sales by almost 21%, you know, that's despite the unrest, you know. And remember, yes, it's coming from a low base. Remember the previous period, they had almost 6 weeks of stores that were closed. And for them to increase their profits by almost 40% and for them to increase their dividend by 46% and a combination of strong sales and also the fact that their debtors book starts to improve, that helped them to increase their operating profit by almost 23%.
Okay, so very much consumer focused today. Where's your stock pick coming through from?
ShopRite, because as we said earlier, the guys continue to spend most of their money on food, and ShopRite is well represented from all the LSM. They're also starting to compete with the likes of Woolworths, and also bearing in mind that their PE of 20 and a dividend yield of 2.8%, they're better than that of the index, and their return on equity is very impressive at 22%.
Yeah, let's leave it there, Makwe. I should have thought that you were leading us with your conversation all to your stock pick this evening. Makwe Masalela is with Makwe Fund Managers.